Hey, it's Chaz and AJ.
Hello.
Thank you for listening to our podcast.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoy it. And please subscribe, comment, share, do all those things that make us look good.
And be nice.
Thank you. All right, Officer Joe's doing the top 10 today. It is top 10 reasons to live in or visit Connecticut in response to Houston's your mama.
Exactly.
No, your mama.
No, your mama.
No, your mama.
Right.
Having a little bit of tug of war with Houston right now.
Yes, a little ping match.
Our governor called them butt ugly. They said, oh, your mama. Emma in Wallingford.
Good morning. And, of course, we have the best pizza in the U.S.
Yeah, number two, Emma, the best pizza. Obviously, New Haven and their surrounding areas. Best pizza in the country. And I work in Brooklyn. It's better than Brooklyn pizza.
Wow.
Yeah, there is no doubt. No doubt. I know it's personal preference,
yes,
and I know it's a case-by-case thing, but if you go to the top-tier pizza places here and the top-tier pizza places there, you're coming here every day.
Right.
Yep.
And Houston, forget about it. There's no pizza there at all.
That's...
Pizza's ugly.
The last time...
Pizza ugly. Your
pizza's butt ugly. All right. Thank you, Emma. Yeah, I lived in Dallas in 1995, and the best pizza there at the time, I don't know if things are different now, but the best pizza there at the time was Domino's.
Oh.
We had pizza from a local pizza place. I asked, you know, Texans, where do you get good pizza around here? They told me I went.
Right.
And it was basically cardboard with red water.
Oh.
And grated cheese.
Yeah.
And, you know, normally I could eat through any pizza because to me there's no bad pizza. Well, even a frozen pizza I can finish off.
Yes.
I threw this pizza out.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was Texas pizza 1995.
Inedible.
I don't know if it's improved.
Yeah, I'm sure if there are people have migrated over there.
You would think more people from Connecticut and New York would go down there and say, you guys need good pizza. But a lot of it is the water and the ingredients.
Yeah. Yep.
It's also just the access that you have to stuff, you know, like...
Joe, what's that sound? I think it's his stomach saying, bring me pizza.
That was exactly, that's was my stomach.
Get out of here!
That's crazy. That was crazy.
I thought you were
Are you kidding me?
I thought you were
Ubering
a hedgehog.
You said pizza, and my stomach was like, yes.
I thought you were Ubering a hedgehog.
Wow.
I pictured a pig rooting for truffles.
We all looked at each other like, what is happening?
Like, who is that?
Wow. And I couldn't pull the phone fast enough away from my body.
All right, so there's your confirmation about the best pizza.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, no matter what I was going to say, that proves the point better.
Beef man.
Good morning, all.
Hey.
Good morning, Beef.
I think an obvious one is we have the national champions in basketball and hopefully in hockey as well soon.
Oh, right.
Nah, not really. There's something in here about schools, but not about our sports teams because generally we're really not, you know, we're
no,
good.
No, but specifically basketball.
Yeah, no.
Right.
No?
No.
Oh,
no college basketball?
No. You're not coming to Connecticut because the UConn Huskies won the national title. I mean, you know, it's great that they won, but you're not coming here for
that.
Hey,
can you turn up Channel 3 right now? They're doing it right now.
Viral!
Yeah, Chaz is right. Houston's Mayor Sylvester Turner, naturally not very thrilled with those comments. He asked, which end was the governor looking from? Yikes.
All right, you can check the Channel 3 app for more details. We're going to continue our morning rush as we come back from break. Stay with us.
Caitlin Francis, like zero.
Like, Scott's biting
his bottom
lip.
You can check the app for
even Mark. Scott Haney had nothing. He was like, I'm not getting involved.
He's biting his bottom lip like, don't say anything, don't say anything, don't say anything.
Beefman, do you have a guess?
Yeah, how about a low crime rate? This is a safe place to live compared to some other states.
No.
Oh, well.
That's
I don't know what statistics, which end of that list you're looking.
Seriously.
Perfect Final Four bracket, speaking of UConn.
Yeah.
A 440,000-to-1 chance proved possible by a Harford woman who's on the phone right now. Erin Sheehan, you probably already know her as Chaz Kelly, who used to be on KC 101 and 104 Radio.
Hey!
Good morning.
Oh, good morning. I didn't know that you were going to reveal that. Good morning.
Surprise!
Yeah.
I hope it's okay.
I'm a huge fan of the show. It is okay. It's
okay.
Very much okay.
Cool.
All right. Well, you and I have talked over the years.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're friends. Yeah.
Yeah,
in
totally.
Fact, it's 20 years ago we came to Connecticut. Now, I'd already been in Connecticut. I had a show in Connecticut, and then I moved around this country, and then we were coming back. I was coming back. AJ was coming with me to do mornings here.
My first time.
And, you know, it was Chaz and AJ in the morning. Now, you were at where, 101 at the time?
Originally, I was at 104.
Right.
I think when you first came, I was at 104.
Yeah. But
and then I moved to 101.
Your general manager, who used to be my general manager when I was here, was now your general manager over there, and he called this building and said, "You can't have a Chaz."
Did oh hell no.
We're like, "Oh hell no,
oh hell no."
And did we try to out Chaz you?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. We were having a Chaz match.
It was battle of Chazes.
Right. Yeah. So that was just a weird thing, and then you know.
Yeah, and then what? And then and now I'm a Hartford woman,
right?
And you're still Chaz.
Yeah. So what are you doing now? Are you doing voiceover stuff or?
Yeah, I do voiceover stuff. If I could plug the show, I do a voiceover for is the Rich Eisen Show out of Los Angeles.
Cool.
Yep, and I am a wife to a sports guy as well, the DP Show, Dan Patrick Show. So I'm kind of like on the periphery of sport.
Wait, you're not Dan Patrick's wife.
No.
I'm member of.
Not nearly as classy to be Dan Patrick.
No, because I was like, I know the ice cream lady. You are not the ice cream lady.
You are no ice cream lady.
Yeah.
I am Seton O'Connor's wife.
Okay.
Who is one of the Danettes on the show.
Ah,
Danettes. Good dude.
Cool.
Yeah.
And I'm a mom now. I have a 13-year-old son.
Wow.
13.
Man, you've been busy.
What the hell?
Seriously.
Been a while.
Sure.
So all that, but then you have this perfect Final Four bracket.
Yeah. Yeah. So every year my husband asks me to do a bracket, and every year I say no. And this year my son did a bracket, and so it's kind of like peer pressure in the family. Both of them did the brackets, and so I said, fine, just send it to me, and I'll do it. And this was right before the deadline. And I filled it out really quickly, but I'm going to say this because a lot of people are laughing, like I just slipped a coin. But when it came to the Elite Eight, I decided I was going to be serious about it and really try to pick, you know, who I wanted to get to the Final Four. And so I did all the radio markets I worked in. so that's how I got it.
Nice.
Hey, whatever works.
Hey, yeah.
Wait, is that right? You did all the Elite Eight were the radio markets you worked in?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I worked in Tampa. I worked in Miami. I worked in San Diego.
Crazy.
And I worked in Hartford.
Wow.
That's even more of a story now to me.
Seriously.
How you picked it.
Well, it means you can't hold a job.
Well, exactly. Welcome to the club, by the way.
My career in radio worth something. In the end, who had the last laugh?
Seriously.
Holy
you did?
Crap.
That's wild.
And then you picked UConn going all the way because you were in Connecticut for the longest?
I did.
Okay.
No. I think because I'm in Connecticut now. So then I think I thought home team.
Yep, hometown girl.
Right.
From the heart.
Wow.
Yep. So that's it.
So was there any in your eight that, Phil, was there any in the Elite Eight that people thought, like, they shouldn't have been there or they weren't going
to
go there?
FAU, Florida Atlantic, as a 9 seed getting to the Final Four is insane. Getting to the Elite Eight is almost equally crazy.
Wow.
Yeah, well, when my husband first looked at my Final Four, and he looked at me and he said, wow, this is a wild Final Four.
Wild. See a snicker?
That's what's so great about March Madness.
Exactly.
Madness. All of the experts can say whatever they want, but the games have to be played.
Yep.
And there's always a surprise.
Anything
always.
Can happen.
Did you bet on your...
No, don't ask. I didn't bet. I didn't.
That means no.
No, three out of the four apparently of the teams have never been to the Final Four.
That's what's crazy.
Wow. So
yeah, and it just being something for my husband's work. Not only did I not bet, but because it's for my husband's work, I couldn't win either.
Oh,
so I didn't even get the grill.
Oh, Jesus.
Ah, that sucks.
It does. It does suck.
He owes you.
But it's okay. He does.
Someone ran the math on this, and if you did bet like $100, how much would you have won?
I think it was upwards. I think it was about like $8.8 million.
Seriously.
Oh, my God.
Otherwise, we would have. You wouldn't have taken our call right now.
No. That's right. No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
I know.
Hey, you know that name, Chaz? I'm ready to buy it.
Yeah, exactly.
You can have it.
I own you.
Damn.
Maybe don't think about that.
Yeah, she sounds like she's good. She's gotten through it. Like, yeah. I would have to marinate in that for a little while.
I'd be despondent. I have to be locked in a room somewhere. Window sharp objects.
Yeah. Well, I said this to Senator Lieberman, who was vice president on the ticket with Al Gore for vice president. They won the popular vote. They lost Florida. They lost the Electoral College. So he was back to being a senator.
Yes.
And I told him, do you ever like get stuck in traffic and think, you know, you'd be like just going right through this stuff. Or you get on an airplane, the door would close and take out. He goes, all the time.
At least he was honest.
Because that's what I would do every time. Like, I'm at the end of the month, you're fine, your guy's fine, you're gonna be fine,
right?
But like, you get to the end of the month, it's like, damn, I'm you know, there's too much month at the end of the money. I'd be like, you know, damn bracket.
I'm eating ramen for a week.
Right, yeah.
They're fine, though.
Yes, you know. They are, yes. Thank God.
Yes. Well, I have to focus on all of the things I'm grateful for.
Yes.
Yes.
You're right. That's the best thing.
That's exactly what you're supposed to do.
Right.
I try. I try.
Has anyone else? Is this the only perfect bracket?
So final it's not a full bracket. Just the final four teams.
Final four.
But... as far as I know, I haven't seen anyone else claiming that they've done it.
Do you know Aaron?
No, I think that I think ESPN had like 20 million brackets filled out, and 37 people had the final four right, is what I've heard. I don't know if anyone had it right down to the final two, down to the final one.
Right.
I could be that only one, but I'm not sure.
Wow.
You know, it's pretty tough having a winning lottery ticket and having no idea that you do.
Yes.
But I'm trying to look at it as a sign of amazing things to come. I'm just getting my engine started, just revving it up a little bit.
It's got
to
mean something, right?
Right, right.
Well, the universe just gave you a nudge saying, hey, man, we're here. Let me know what you need.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. Holy crap.
Wow.
That is wild. Well, you know... you're going to get calls from every stupid morning show, including this one.
Right. So we started
next March. So what's your bracket pick? Because you're the expert, Aaron. What do you say? Yep.
Yeah. Looking forward to it.
No, you're not.
Yeah. Jesus. That's
awesome. Talk to you like March 7th next year.
Right.
So this is Aaron Sheehan, and she has had a perfect Final Four bracket.
Cool.
And it's a 440,000 to one chance.
Wow.
And she did it. But you also know her as Chaz Kelly from KC101 and 104.
Yeah.
Yeah. So are you voice tracking radio shows now from where you are?
No.
Or no?
No, I was doing radio in New York City until the pandemic.
Which station?
And then they shut. I was at, I can't remember, 102.7. I was at 102.7.
Oh, NEW,
formerly NEW.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then once the pandemic hit, they stopped having people go into the city.
Yeah.
And that just pretty much killed it, ended it there. So I just do voiceover work. And, I'm a mom. And I'm a bracketologist.
You're a bracketologist.
It's official, bracketologist.
Wow, 13-year-old. What's a 13-year-old into now?
He is a real big soccer player. He plays for the Hartford Athletic Academy, which is a pro team in Hartford.
Cool.
Yep. He loves that. And, in between that, he's playing PlayStation. Nice. That's pretty much it.
That's important too.
Yep.
Yeah. Got to have your fun time.
He's a good kid.
Well, that, and you can get a scholarship with it now, too.
Yeah. Right. He's got some bragging rights to that school, right? My mom had a perfect bracket, by the way. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep. Esports scholarship next.
Yeah. He was a little pissed when it started. Not going to lie.
Why?
Well, my bracket was, because my bracket was beating him.
Oh, yeah. Ma! Yeah.
You didn't even watch any of the games.
Right.
God's sake!
That's right.
Mom blindly filling it out. He probably like researched, was like, oh, this team's going to beat this team. Right.
Right. He had all this reasoning for each team advancing because of this player, that player,
Mom threw
their defense, their offense, their record in the tournament.
This one just sounds nice over here.
Look, that name March Madness, the madness part has been around forever. This is a good example why.
But this happens a lot. Super Bowl, all this stuff. Yeah. You know, you have all of the top elite sports people chime in, and then you have a monkey throw a dart.
Yeah.
And the monkey usually wins.
Yep. Yeah.
In a one-game scenario like this, it just...
Not that you're a monkey, Aaron.
Doesn't always matter.
Like, you're around this stuff all the time.
I try to be a monkey.
Yeah. That's AJ's job. So, great to hear your voice.
It was really nice talking to you. Such a pleasure.
Yeah. Keep in touch.
Please. Well done.
Really. And congratulations on this.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
It was great talking to you guys.
Anytime. We might, did you cross paths with Dee Snider when he was doing mornings over there?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I was his program director for a short period of time.
How did that go?
It was fun. Okay. He's a nice guy. Okay. He really is.
I could tell by the tone. There's a little, not everybody, you know. Right. The only reason I said that, I didn't mean to put you on the spot, but I think we're going to have him on next week.
Cool.
And I thought, oh, wouldn't that be cool to have you on, like, as a surprise? But it sounds like it wouldn't be cool.
And you hear click?
Or would it be?
No.
You think it'd be fun?
No. No, yeah, it would be awesome. He's a great guy.
Oh, yeah,
he's
definitely.
A great guy.
Okay. Ruth, that's your number?
Dee Snider's boss was an awkward thing. That's
you could hear it when he does the show. It's like, this is...
He's bossless.
Right.
Bossless.
He's the leader of the band.
Yes, he is.
Leader of the band.
Yes, he is.
100%.
Yep. So that'll be fun. We'll do that. We'll play like this is your career with Dee Snider.
Right.
Sounds good.
All right.
I'm up for it.
All right. Thank you, Aaron. Talk to you soon. Jimmy Kopik, Live Nation concert guy on the show. Good morning, sir. How you doing?
I am doing fine. I wish it wasn't going to rain today because, man, it's going to be warm.
Oh, I know.
76, I heard?
Upper 60s, mid-70s. Yeah, inland, mid-70s.
Oh, boy.
Yep.
I'm ready.
Yep. Same here. Same.
Yesterday was nice.
Yeah.
We're there.
Be a little cooler tomorrow, but you got sunshine starting tomorrow all the way through, like, Wednesday.
Awesome.
Yeah.
A couple of shows announced this week. We should just touch base with you on.
Yeah, very happy to get the second James Taylor show down in Bridgeport at the Hartford Healthcare Amphitheater. That was a special little gift he gave us after he sold out the first show in 10 minutes.
10 minutes.
I can make more money. Yeah, why not?
Yeah, 10 minutes sold out.
So does he leave all his stuff set up?
Oh, no. The first show is June 26th. The second show is August
29th. Oh.
Ew. That's a big deal then to get the second show.
You're right. You're right. He added a second leg at the end of the summer and... my begging worked. Let's put it that way.
Nice.
It worked.
That's a really great venue to see James Taylor.
On a nice night.
Perfect night.
Yep.
Outside.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. The end of August, just when summer's nearing its end. So it'll be nice to hear that. And then very excited about Incubus and Mohegan Sun.
Cool.
That's wild.
And then let's see what else. I'll tell you one thing that I was really surprised at. I never heard of her. Melanie Martinez. Is outselling everybody right now.
Wow.
In pre-sale at the Hartford Healthcare Amphitheater in Bridgeport. I saw a picture of her. She looks like Lady Gaga.
Oh.
Very strange looking. Yes. Wears outfits and, you know, paints her face and everything like that.
Oh, like a young David Bowie.
Yeah. Very, very different looking.
Okay.
Very different looking.
Kind of avant-garde.
Oh, I'd like to hear her music now.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah, she does like the weird contact lenses sometimes, it looks like.
Change color eyes.
You know that David Bowie eye? You know how he had that one eye?
Yeah.
You know how he got that?
Part Malamute?
No. Good guess, though.
I don't know.
He had a dispute with one of his friends over a girl, and the dude punched him in the eye.
Wow.
And his friggin' eye got swollen, and like, never recovered.
It changed his retina.
Yeah.
That's a hell of a hit.
That's wild. That's why he has, like, if you see some pictures of him, it looks like he has two different colored eyes.
I think cats like that.
It was from a punch.
Oh. All right.
Oh, boy.
She literally just pulled her face off in this music video.
Beg pardon?
Wow.
She can do that?
Exactly what you're thinking that looks like, that's what it looked like.
Huh.
It's terrible.
It's terrible. Trip? Yes, yeah. It's awful.
Well, people want to see Melanie Martinez, that's all I could say. Right. I've never heard of her until we put it on sale.
Will she be ripping her face off on stage?
When you take dots first, yes.
That would be very messy.
It would.
I'm guessing, Jimmy, you've been to some Grateful Dead shows where you saw people thinking that they were ripping their faces off.
Trying to walk through a wall.
Mm. Oh, for sure.
Didn't make it.
Had that experience myself.
Wow.
No, just kidding. And then Tears for Fears at Mohegan Sun on June 24th.
Wow.
It's on sale tomorrow.
That's a fun show.
Still going, huh?
Glad they're back to Connecticut. I can't remember the last time I had them. It must have been 30 years ago when I had them in Connecticut.
Wow. Oh, so when they had that big album,
yep,
their first album come out.
Makes you want to shout, let it all out.
And everybody wants to rule the world. They got a bunch of songs. That's going to be a fun show.
Yeah, it is nice.
Tickets go on sale Friday. Ticketmaster, so I think that's pre-sale, right? And Ticketmaster, Mohegan Sun.
On sale's tomorrow. Pre-sale's going on right now.
Okay, and then Mohegan Sun will have them at the box office on Saturday.
Do they really still open up their box office, huh? Well, I guess it makes some sense because there's more
people
out there.
Yeah.
I mean, our Oakdale box office is open only 2 days a week now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Tuesdays and Thursdays, 12 to 5.
Sound on Sound, what are you working on now with that?
Oh, we're doing the boring work right now of ordering the stage and ordering the sound and everything like that. It's total operations, boring work going on right now.
Right. So all the artists are all plugged in. They're all scheduled.
Nice.
In order. You got the rotating stage.
Yes.
Lazy Susan. Yep.
Lazy Susan.
Yep.
That's pretty awesome.
One guy dressed like salt, another pepper.
I'm guessing there's a backup if that thing goes down. You know, there's probably some hand crank or
something. There's people down below.
Yeah.
I never thought about that part.
Everybody, push!
You get two guys on opposite sides and like those pedal bikes.
Right. It's a jazz.
You take a rope and you just wrap it around there.
Right.
And then you take a car, tie it to the bumper, and take off as fast as you can.
Pull away slowly. We don't lose the band again.
Not a good idea to ask the 25,000 people to just go around to the other side of the stage.
We need you guys. Just go over here. You mind? Form a line.
I never thought of that. Now another reason to lose sleep.
Well, this is, you know, these stages.
It's going to be fine.
They're miracle workers.
Yeah, they're great.
It's pretty wild.
Gosh. You guys are killing me.
I can hear the anxiety now.
Yeah. It's all over me. Yeah. First of all, I'm a Jew, so I worry naturally. It's just in me.
We're going to tap on the shoulder. Jimmy needs to help push. Everybody help push.
No, but what I love about that stage is one band will say, thank you,
right.
Bridgeport.
Uh-huh.
And within minutes, this thing starts turning.
Right.
And, you know, maybe you have enough time for a bathroom run. I don't know. What do you think the time will be?
We're thinking 5 to 7 minutes between acts.
Wow.
Because they rotated as the guy saying thank you.
Or they're playing their last song.
Right.
Yeah. Thank you. And then the other band's out front now.
Oh, my God.
There's just a guitar tech like, hi.
Right. He's adjusting his pants. Oh, Jesus.
Well, hello, everyone.
Hey!
Red Hot Chili Peppers headlining Saturday night, John Mayer, Alanis Morissette co-headlining Sunday night, and then just a ton of awesome bands.
Yeah.
Lots of food. You tripled the amount of vendors from last year.
Double the amount of space, triple the amount of vendors, we think everybody will have a great time.
Excellent.
Oh, sounds great. We're linked up on the radio station website. Patty wants to know about Aerosmith.
I keep hearing they will be doing their final tour this year, but I have not heard of any actual dates yet.
Normally, when there's a final tour in a year, do you typically hear some dates floated past you by April?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So it seems weird to you that you heard a rumor, but you're not hearing any dates, so you're thinking maybe it's a rumor.
Well, I don't think it's a rumor. I think Tyler got hurt. It didn't feel well. I don't know if he got hurt, but I think he wasn't feeling well. So I think they might have waited to announce it.
Okay.
But I keep hearing it's going to happen.
They really do have to come around one more time.
Yeah, like, they do, yeah.
They are a perfect play for Mohegan Sun. Maybe even two nights.
Wow.
Nice.
If it happens.
Wow. Yeah, if it's a last tour.
Last hurrah.
Yeah, that would be great. Somebody asked about The Cure.
Almost had them. June 17th at the XL Center, but they decided to play a second date in Montreal, so hopefully next time around. But almost had The Cure. Did all the work, got the ticket prices together, did everything. And then Robert Smith decided to play Montreal.
Now, you don't get paid anything for that, for the effort.
No. It's just a lot of work for nothing.
Damn. He owes you.
Why the XL Center?
Well, the XL Center was because they had wanted to play all the old arenas that they had played in when they were.
That's cool.
Back
okay.
In the 20th century.
Nostalgia thing.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So they thought that they would do that too.
That is cool.
Yeah, so I thought that was a great idea. Great idea.
Reg in Norwalk, what's your question for Jimmy?
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good, thank you.
Hi, Jimmy. Any country bands booked in Bridgeport since Little Big Town isn't touring this year?
Well, we have Parker McCollum, but I don't know, you know, matters your age, whether you consider that, you know, it is country, but it's young country, which is really what's going on right now more than anything. This young country thing is becoming really enormous. But other than that, nothing yet. But we are not giving up because we are trying to get more country down there.
Cool. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Ray in Brantford, what's your question?
Hi, Jimmy. A week ago, last week, Chaz, you asked Jim, how many times has Led Zeppelin played in Connecticut? He said once at Oakdale. But in fact, I saw Led Zeppelin play in New Haven at Yale Bowl in the what was called Bowl Concert Series. And they were the first act that played.
Now, who also played that show?
Wow.
Well, they were on.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Keith Moon came in as a guest drummer.
Okay.
It was Led Zeppelin, the first act, then Emerson, Lake, and Palmer played the second act in the series, and then Eric Clapton came on and played the third act.
Wow, Jesus, can you huge. Imagine that? What was the ticket, 38 cents?
They paid you, actually. They paid you back then.
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't remember, but it had there was thousands of people there for each one. There was supposed to be a fourth one with Santana, but they had problems, and they canceled it, and then they never made any more of those concerts.
Well, Ray, thanks for that update, man. We appreciate it.
Nice memory.
What a moment that must have been.
Seriously.
Thank you, Ray.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, take care.
You know, I do want to correct myself. There are other country acts going to Bridgeport, by the way. Darius Rucker's playing Bridgeport. Jelly Roll's playing Bridgeport.
Cool. Oh, wow.
So we do have country acts down there.
Oh, and those sold right out.
Yep.
That Led Zeppelin show must have been with the New Haven Pops back in the mid to late 60s. I was in Ohio then. That's why I wasn't aware of it. But I'm sure he's right.
Right. And we don't expect you to know every band that's played
in
any venue in Connecticut. I remember when I met you for the first time, Jimmy. It was backstage, and I met Robert Plant and you at the same time.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, I think I like this job. I was like, I'm backstage at this concert, and I'm standing with Robert Plant and Jimmy Coplick.
Yep.
I love Robert Plant as a person.
He, Alana Miles opened the show. And he was just embracing Zeppelin music again, and he came out with the album Manic Nirvana.
Okay.
And he played some of his slower Robert Plant songs like Big Log.
Yeah.
And then he went into Misty Mountain Hop. There's this quiet pause, and then you hear dan, 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 and the crowd erupted. It's probably the loudest crowd I've ever been in, and I thought the New Haven Coliseum was going to fall down.
Probably a good chance of it.
We just went nuts, like nuts. Just one of the zillion moments that Jimmy brought to Connecticut.
What a moment, huh?
Micah Waterbury, what's your question for Jimmy?
Good morning. Hi, Jimmy. Hey, quick question. How about $25 tickets this year? And is there a date for it?
There is a date, and it will be coming up, I would say, probably in a few weeks, I would guess. We're working on it right
now. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. The author of Tone Chaser, Steve Rosen, is on the phone. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Morning.
Good, thank you. So you're the only person Eddie Van Halen said, yes, you can write an unauthorized biography about me.
I am the only person. And, you know, if we go back to circa 84, 85, I had sort of asked Edward. I had known him for about 7 years at that point. I knew there were going to be books written about him, so I mustered the courage and found the chutzpah to say, Ed, I want to write that book about you. And he gave me permission, and we signed simple little contracts. And for those who've seen the book or read the book, I still have that copy of the contract, and it's there in the book. And that was pretty unbelievable for me.
What does the contract look like? You said it's one page. So is it like written out on a napkin? Is it typed out by you?
I originally put together literally one paragraph that I typed on a typewriter, my Underwood typewriter. This is sort of pre-computers. And he signed it. And I basically said, hey, I'm going to be the guy to write your authorized biography, Ed. And he signed it. Then about a year later, we went up to his lawyer's office, and his lawyer drafted a slightly more elaborate contract, but it was still one page. And it basically gave me the permission. The main caveat in there was that I could not put the book out without Edward's word of approval. That was the main thing, but it was a very simple contract, and I started working on the book, and unfortunately that book never came to fruition, and
why not?
Many.
If you were signing this stuff in the 80s, what happened? Hold up.
Edward never felt like he was ready to sit down and sort of have a biography come out on him. He told me many times, man, his phrase, man, now's not the right time. You know, I'm working on a new record, and if we do the book now and the record's not in it, you know, people are going to think my career is over. And he made that comment to me once, and I go, Ed, no one's going to think that way. It was a strange thing. I mean, he had a real sense of who he was. It wasn't an ego thing. He knew who he was and what he did. But there was also this other very fragile side of him who thought, well, if a book comes out in 87 and I, you know, put a record out in 88, you know, are my fans going to think, you know, well, that book was kind of the end of my career?
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, weird. So in his mind, the greatest hits album comes out at the end.
Okay.
You know, the album comes out at the end, even though they did put out some greatest hits.
Yeah.
The book comes out when he's done.
Well, as it turns out, no, that's exactly right. So, I mean, that first greatest hits record comes out in, I think, 95, 96. Then, as you mentioned, yeah, I think there was a second volume. Van Halen continued to play in one form or another up until, I don't know, 2005, 2008. You know, they do some of those tours. I stopped communicating and hanging out with Edward in 2003. And basically for 17 years, I kind of missed him as a friend and wondered what happened.
What happened? And, Steve, was there
falling out?
Yeah, it was nothing specific. And I don't want to kind of give the secret away for those who haven't read the book, but it was just Edward just, he changed. He changed a lot in the preceding years. He became a different person. He had, you know, basically around 2003, there was no record deal. Not that Van Halen couldn't have gotten a record deal, but they were no longer on Warner's. His marriage was not doing so great. He was very sick, you know, so there were things going on, and I believe that contributed to it. The relationship just ended, so I basically sat on that book for 17 years, and I did want people to know I began that book about a month and a half before Edward's passing. In October of 2020, I began the book on August 24th, and I remember that date because it was my birthday. So
Eddie Van Halen has a legion of fans that are very loyal. Even Wolfgang, his son, gets crap for using Van VH in the title.
It's bizarre.
It's his name.
Yeah.
What kind? Have you had any backlash? And then I want to get into a couple of the personal stories you have with Eddie, but Has there been backlash, support, a little of both?
Honestly, man, no. I have not heard from the family. You know, I was hoping maybe they would reach out at some point. Look, you know, like the book is very honest. Blemishes and everything, I left that stuff in there because that's a story I wanted to tell.
Oh.
You know, I wasn't trying to hurt anybody. I was just trying to be as honest as I possibly could. As you guys so rightly pointed out, I was the only guy given permission to do his authorized biography.
Authorized, right. But your deal with him was that he gets to approve it. So wouldn't you now have to get approval from his estate or no?
No, I mean, that kind of, you know, those...
That passes that with him?
In an unspoken way. Look, I sat on that book for 17 years. Had anybody reached out to me and said, hey, we heard you're writing a book from the Van Halen estate, said we don't want you to write that book, I would have shelved it. I would never
really
have written it.
Okay.
Absolutely, man. And I really believe in that. And that's the truth. And honestly, man, sitting down to write that book was an extraordinarily hard thing. I thought, my God, is this the right thing? Do I want to say these things? But yeah, so I thought, look, man.
I don't, you know, I'm just being honest here. Like, I'm a real fan, and it sounds like he trusted you. It almost sounds, and I haven't read anything, and I'm just, you know, it's off the cuff here, but it almost sounds like a little bit of betrayal of that trust of being in the inner circle, signing that thing. He said, only if I approve it, and now it's kind of coming out.
Well,
you feel a little weird about that or no?
No, I don't. And if I did, like I said, I would never put the book out. If you read the book, I think you'll understand the tone of the book and where it comes from, and it's basically 580 pages of me saying how much I love the guy and how amazing he is. And I'll tell you, if Edward was around and he read the book, he'd say, yeah, man, go ahead, print it.
You think so?
It was nice.
Would you say, you think he would say, take out a couple of parts here?
I don't think so, man. I mean, he was awfully upfront. And again, if you read the book, he says, hey, man, you can record, use anything you want. In the book, there are those little parts where I've transcribed verbatim where he says, hey, don't print this. What you have to understand is he is saying that in the moment, in that time period. So in 85, if he made a comment about Dave or Mike or the management, he's talking about 1985. Hey, don't print this now. 17 years later or you know, in some cases 30 years later, a lot of that stuff is common knowledge. People know about that stuff. And no, nowhere do I feel like I betrayed him. And in fact, I've sold a lot of books, and 99.9% of every person who's read it said, my God, thank you for writing this book. We know so much more about Edward.
Give us an example of a couple of things where, you know, me being a Van Halen fan, I'd read it and say, wow, that is cool.
He was an extraordinarily complex guy. Music was everything to him. Everything came second, except until the point when Wolf was born. That became his main pursuit. I mean, he loved Valerie and his marriages, but that became even difficult because everybody took a backseat to Edward. He spent an extraordinary amount of time working on his music. Though his recordings were done pretty quickly, he would work for hours and hours and days and weeks on refining riffs. As a tone chaser, man, he was forever looking for the perfect Brown sound.
And you introduced him, Steve, you introduced him to Ritchie Blackmore, Billy Gibbons, and Les Paul at different times. Wow. You were the one who did that?
I did that. You know, I thought, my God, you know, these guys are all, you know, must be people that Edward knows and admires. And on different occasions, I introduced him to all three guys. And the strange thing about Edward is he had a very focused sort of memory for music. He could remember the first riff he played when he was 13. He could not remember 2 days later that I'd introduced him to Blackmore. He couldn't remember that I was there at the Guitar Center inauguration of the walk where he put his hands in cement, that I'd introduced him to Les Paul. He didn't remember I had introduced him to Billy Gibbons. And not that he was being mean in any way. He just, for him, you know, on his radar, there's just one important thing. And that was a little tough to deal with at times.
What do you mean? Like, so you're saying you introduced him, and then he was saying, yeah, I don't remember you. And did he remember meeting them, but just not you introducing him?
It was a combination of both. So
he would say to you, I remember meeting Billy Gibbons, but you weren't there.
Right.
No. Okay. No, he wouldn't even remark on meeting Billy. I don't even think he remembered meeting Billy.
Oh, that seems weird.
Yeah.
Jimi Hendrix was on The Tonight Show, and Johnny Carson asked him, so who do you like? And he goes, oh, well, the next greatest guitarist is Billy Gibbons. and no one even heard of ZZ Top at the time.
Yeah.
I mean, for Eddie Van Halen to meet Billy Gibbons and not remember it seems weird.
It was weird. You know, it would just be stuff that we would talk about, and I realized, my God, he doesn't remember meeting Billy, or he doesn't remember me introducing him. Real quickly, Les Paul is at Guitar Center, the flagship store on Hollywood Boulevard, the famous one. It's the first inauguration of the Rock Walk. I'm there. Edward's there. Les Paul is there. I had met Les Paul before. I had written a book on Jeff Beck, and I had had a couple conversations with Les. I thought, how amazing would it be to get Les and Edward Van Halen in a room? Wow. I managed to make that happen. We go up to a room upstairs. We start talking, and at a point in time, Edward takes over the interview. He says, hey, man, I want to talk, you know. It was amazing.
That's cool.
Story. 2 days later, I was saying to Ed, I go, hey, Ed, you know, listen, man, if you could kind of let me know where you're going to be, you know, I could try to be there, you know, for the book. I just want to make sure I get everything. And I said, like, you know, like the Guitar Center thing. And he goes, well, man, I didn't know about it till the last moment. I go, yeah, man, no, I know. I was there, you know, but I didn't know about it either. You know, I just had to find out. He goes, you were there? I go, Ed, I introduced you to Les Paul. This is 2 days later. Yeah, it was strange, man. It was weird.
Huh. He may have been one of those people so focused on meeting Les Paul that everything else kind of just fell away.
Background.
Yeah, interesting.
That's certainly possible. I mean, I know he really dug being there, and he and Les had an amazing
time. Steve, I could talk to you all friggin' day, and you got so many other stories about so many other artists. I want to have you on again to talk about the book, but then other artists as well.
I only ask one thing, guys.
Sure.
If you have a moment, just read a little bit of the book.
I'm going to read the book.
Oh, yeah.
I'm an Eddie fan. Super fan.
Yeah, man. I know you guys are hardcore fans. You know, I don't want you to have this impression of me that I put this book out and that I somehow betray trust.
No.
Trust me, man. It was 2 years of my life, and, you know, I self-published. I send out every copy. It was a lot of work. I put myself out there on the line as well. So just read the book. And
oh, I will.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, no. And, okay. You know, we need this. We need more info on Eddie.
Absolutely.
I'm going to read it. Absolutely. I am a huge fan, and we're going to link up on the radio station website, and we'll have you back. And you know what? I'll read the book, and then we'll go through some of the stories that popped up on my radar.
Fantastic. One last comment, guys. I did sell out of the first edition, and I'm having the second edition copies printed, which will be here in about a month. So
cool.
I'm very excited about that.
Awesome. Yeah. Steve Rosen, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.